Amen. That was a blessing. Appreciate that. And take your Bibles, please. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I call your attention to verse 2, which is our text. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The title of the message, now is the accepted time. Father, I pray you bless the preaching. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for preparing us now for the Word of God. And I pray, God, that you'll work in our hearts. If there's anyone here today who's not saved, I pray, God, today be the day they would come to Christ, they would be saved. The most important decision they'll ever make. And Lord, I pray for Christians that we also would make the decisions you lay on our hearts, that we would be what we're supposed to be, that we'd do what we're supposed to do, because today's the day. This is the accepted time, God. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I really like verse 2. I've always liked verse 2 since I first read the Bible and first saw that verse, because it says now is the accepted time. That's really not a tough statement to make, really. I mean, it's not hard to understand. Now is the accepted time. There is no better time than now. We live in a day of procrastination. We like to put everything off, and God makes it very, very clear. Now is the accepted time, and He says very clearly one thing you definitely don't want to put off, and that's salvation. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But now is the it's accepted. It is the time. There is no better time. It is accepted as the very best time. You see, you know, how many times have we sat in church and God speaks to our heart and God deals with us about something and we say, well, I'll get that right. No, God is saying clearly, now. You're here now. I spoke to you now. I dealt with you now. Now is the accepted time. Make your decision now. You know, I'm amazed at Christians who will do those kinds of things with God. And yet when it's up to your relative and your relative is not saved and you're talking to him about getting saved and they say, well, I'll get saved one of these days, you get frustrated. They say, why don't you do it now? Well, you know, God says to you, why don't you make the decision I put in your heart now? Why don't you do what I said to do now? The truth is, now is the accepted time. Now is the time. It is the best time. It is the time to make decisions. It is the time to do what God says to do. It is the time to obey God. Now is the accepted time. Because time goes very, very fast. Life is a vapor, the Bible says. It's like a vapor. I mean, it's here and it just vanishes. It's amazing how fast everything goes. In October, my wife and I will celebrate our 32nd anniversary of marriage. That is just hard to imagine. In August, we celebrated our 30th year of when we met, or 34th year of when we met. And that's good. We got married before we met. I don't know how you do that, but I'm glad some of you are listening. I do those kind of things on purpose. But watch it. But you know, 34 years ago we met, 32 years ago we got married, and it's just it's amazing how fast that time has gone. I can so clearly remember when Brenda was waddling along with pregnancy, and it just, you know, how we thought, oh, you know, that's going to be so many years, and now our kids are in their 20s. They're not kids anymore; they're old. And I remember when I believe it was when she was giving birth to Angela. I remember going into the hospital and she said, I don't want to do this. And I said, too bad. I mean, it's too late now. But, you remember those things and it just seems like that was just such a short time ago. And that's why it's so important to understand, because time goes so fast. Do you know that I used to be skinny? It isn't that funny. Do you know that I used to have hair? We that isn't that funny either. But my wife, the fellow, I think I mentioned this about the fellow that has cancer, and he wants me to. In fact, he doesn't. They're not expecting him to live past a year. But I led him to the Lord and I baptized him. And my wife found the old picture of him getting baptized, and I couldn't believe the guy baptizing. I'm looking at that picture. I'm thinking, who is that guy? And that guy's not, you know, he's not very heavy, and he's got hair and everything. I mean, it's just amazing, though, how time goes by. And it goes so fast. I think about years ago when I wanted to get my driver's license, and now I don't even care to drive. You know, anytime I get somebody to chauffeur me, yeah, I know teenagers. You know, the guy's always after I say something like that, "Pastor, I'll drive you all over the place," you know. Yeah, I know all about my car, my gas, right? And wherever you want to go, I just go along. Yeah, I know how that is. That ain't going to work. But you know, it just seems like that wasn't that long ago. And you know, we all sit here and everybody identifies. You know, all of you are going back in your mind and you're thinking back to, you know, whatever years ago that happens to come to your mind. I think about God and God reflecting on 6,000 and some years ago. You know, the first people, Adam and Eve, and of course God creating everything and then putting the first people on the earth. And how man sinned and how man was living a wicked life. And I think God thinks back and it just seems like yesterday that he was making his covenant with Abraham and how God's, how those people, the chosen people, broke that covenant and sinned against God and how man continually sinned. And I believe God, if he were to interview him, he'd say, you know, I remember coming to Bethlehem as a little baby and being born and living and preaching and performing miracles and dying on the cross and being resurrected and ascending up to heaven and watching the disciples and the early church and New Testament churches and revivals in America and to God, it's like, you know, all that has passed by and all that is over. And to you and I, it's just we look back and we see the history of it all. But boy, it's gone fast. It's gone fast. It really has. That's why now is the accepted time. Because you understand, if Jesus doesn't return, these days will someday be history. It bothers me when teenagers talk about, yeah, way back in the 80s. I mean, way back in the 80s. You know, or somebody talks about the 70s as if that's ancient history. You know, one of these days, unless Jesus returns, that's what they're going to talk about these days. And you know what's sad is the things that we didn't do that we should have done. Because we're here now. This is where we are now. We cannot look back at the past. We cannot look to the future. We have today. We have right now. We have this day. We have this year, 2008, and there are things that God wants us to do, and I believe that we can say now it is accepted that we do those things. It is accepted that we make the decisions. It is accepted, this is the accepted time that we do what God wants us to do. Now is the accepted time. And I just wrote down some things that I believe are crucial for you and I now. First of all, now is the accepted time to know whether you're going to heaven or not. Amen. I mean, he says here, it's the day of salvation. It's a day of salvation. Now, today, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, notice I didn't say you're not religious or you don't go to church, because none of that saves you. None of that gets you to heaven. Okay? Religion can't get you to heaven. Baptism can't get you to heaven. None of those things can get you to heaven. Trusting Jesus as your Savior, knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you died, you'd go to heaven because you did what God said to do. That's what you need to do now. Now you need to realize you're a sinner. Now you need to realize that because of that sin, there is punishment in a place called hell. Now you need to realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for that sin. Now you need to call upon Jesus Christ, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not something to put off. It's not something to say, you know, I'll do that when I leave here. It's not something. It's something to do now, to know that you're saved, to know that you're going to heaven. You know, if we were to go through and ask each person in this room, if you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? What would your answer be? You don't have to say it out loud, but just think about it. What would your answer be? Anything other than, I know that I'm going to heaven because I've trusted Jesus as my Savior, is I'm telling you, you need to do it now. You need to do it now. By the way, that is the question you should ask people all over our area. That is the question that we need to pose to people and ask people, if you died right now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Do you know? It is a day of knowing. It is the time that you need to know for sure. You should not walk out those doors until you can say, you know what? I know it. I know it. I know that I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I've done what God said to do. I've done what He required. It's not a matter of being a good person. It's not a matter of being religious. It's not a matter of who, what your roots are and where you came from. It's a matter of getting things settled with God on His terms. And He sent His Son to die on a cross so that you and I could accept Him as Savior. Now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. I don't know how many times that I went to church, heard the Word of God, heard how to be saved, heard it from preachers who preached their heart out and wept as they preached. And I simply said, you know what? One of these days I'm going to do that. Now, Brother Hawkins, if I would have died before I got saved, I would have gone to hell. Okay, I did put it off. I did mess around with it. I should not have done that, but I did. Thank God I got another opportunity when I was 17 years old. Now listen to me, you're not guaranteed another opportunity. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Not one of us is guaranteed tomorrow. That's why now is the accepted time. You know, with a decision like that, there is no more important decision a person makes. That's why God makes it very, very clear in the area of salvation. Now is the day. Not tomorrow, not a week from now, not, you know, well, when I get all the family together. No, listen to me, you need to make that decision now. Now, you've heard me tell the story of George Luger, a man years ago that I had an opportunity to talk to about the Lord. His kids rode our bus, and this man got cancer, and he was a young man. He was only, I believe, in his late 30s, maybe early 40s, and he got cancer, and we had witnessed to him and everything. And I remember going to visit him right after he found out he had cancer, and I said, George, I said, man, it's time. It's time. He said, no, he said, you know, I know what I need to do, and I know I need to get saved, but, you know, I still think I've got some time. And boy, his cancer got worse and worse, and I'd go visit him. And he said, you know, preacher, he said, and his health was starting to fail. He said, I come to the church. I want to get saved in church. I said, George, you don't have to get saved in church. Let's get saved. You get saved right here in your house. And he said, you know, I want to come to church and I want to get saved in church. And he wouldn't get saved. And I remember the day he came. He said, I'm coming to church. He said, I'm going to get saved. And he fell right in front of the church. He was so weak from his treatments. He fell in front of the church. I remember seeing him. His head was cut open and blood was coming down his face. He said, you know, I can't stay. I said, George, you got to get saved. You got to get saved. Well, they put him in the hospital. And I mean, his health was going down real fast. He'd lost all his hair from all the treatments, and he just looked so bad. And I remember going into the hospital and saying, George, and he looked at me, and I could see that look in his eyes. He said, preacher, he said, I'm almost too late. I said, but you're not too late. I said, George, would you like to pray? And he said, preacher, I'm ready. And thank God, I'll never forget, as he started to pray, old fella next to him, an old Methodist preacher, was in the bed next to him. That fella started weeping and crying and praising God. And George trusted Christ, his Savior, 2 weeks before he went to heaven. But you never know. You never know. You know what he said to me after he got saved? He said, I wish I'd have done this when you first told me. I got so much I want to do. You know, for those next 2 weeks, he got busy for God. And then God took him to heaven. I'm just saying, now's the time. Now is the time. Today is the day. If you're not saved, you ought to get saved. The Bible says God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But I'm telling you, sometime that long-suffering wears out. Sometime it's over. The day comes when it's the last day. The opportunity comes and it's the last opportunity. The invitation comes and it's your last invitation, and there won't be another invitation. And for every story I tell about George Luger, who got saved 2 weeks before he died, I could tell you stories of people who did not get saved and they died. And according to my Bible, they went to a hell that is a place of fire and eternal damnation I'm saying today is the day. Now is the accepted time. You say, well, I go to church. I'm a good person. But being a good person doesn't save you. But I do good things. But the Bible says our good things, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You must be born again. It is time to trust Jesus and Him alone. Not the church, not the pastor, not the deacons, not baptism, not church membership. Trust Jesus as your Savior. It's too late once you die. It's too late once the rapture takes place. It's too late. You know, you've heard my story. I'm not going to tell my whole story of my salvation, but I love telling it. And I heard a message on the second coming of Christ. And I was telling somebody this just recently. And Brenda and I were dating at the time. And we went home, went to her house. And I had to drive all the way home, about an hour away, 45 minutes to an hour away. And we just heard a message on the second coming. And I was unsaved, and I knew I was unsaved. And I was under so much conviction. She went up to her upstairs to do whatever women do. I don't know, you know, fix the hair, fix the eyes, do the makeup. I don't know what it was. But I mean, you know, it seemed like it took forever. And I remember waiting there, just getting ready to leave. I was waiting there in the little foyer area there. And all of a sudden it hit me. It was all quiet. I didn't hear anybody in her family. Didn't hear anything going on. And it hit me. Everybody's gone. The rapture took place. And I'm doomed. I mean, it hit me. And it got quiet. I have no idea. You know, maybe God made her makeup smear or something like that and kept her away longer. But the longer it got, the more I was convinced I was too late. Finally, when she showed up, it terrified me. And I said, I got to get out of here. I'm gone. Got in the car, weeping, because I thought sure I'd been left behind. And I thank God for the way God worked in my heart. I thank God to this day that He made me realize now is the time. And I got saved that night, trusted Christ as my Savior, because I didn't want to be too late. Do you understand how many people are in hell because they were too late? All of them. Every one of them. Every one of them. Oh, listen, friend. Now's the accepted time for you to get saved, to know that you're saved. Number two, now is the accepted time to grow. Now is the accepted time to grow. You say, well, you know, one of these days I'm gonna grow in the Lord, but I got some things I got to do. No. Now is the accepted time to grow. Right now, today, every service that you go to, you ought to grow some. Every time we sit in church, every time the Bible's open, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Every time you hear the Word of God, every time you read the Word of God, every service, Sunday school class, Bible study, you ought to grow. You ought to grow. You cannot tell me God doesn't speak to your heart whenever you hear or read this book. I promise you this, if we are hearing it and we're reading it and we're seeking God to do something in our lives, we'll grow. And we should grow, and it's a sin not to grow. Now is the accepted time. You know, first step after you get saved is to get baptized. That's the first step. It's like a little baby, you know. Little babies, they have to take certain steps, and there's always that first one. And you have to take that step. And baptism is the first step. It's letting others know that you have trusted Christ as Savior. And it's an important thing. Now. Well, you know, I want to wait. You know, I want to do it another time. No. Now is the accepted time. That's the first step of growth. You don't even begin to grow until you learn to obey God and do that first step. And joining the church. I mean, all those things are just steps and growing. You say, well, you know, I want to wait. And I'm kind of looking around. And I'm trying to... Listen to me. We're running out of time. I would hate for you, a person, to die and face Jesus and say, yeah, I just never did anything with my salvation. I would hate to think of us, the Lord returning. And yes, praise God, you go. You go with Him because you're saved, but to say, yeah, I just never did what I could have done. I didn't grow. Now is the accepted time for you to grow. You're here today, you've been saved for a year or 2 years or something, and you know, you've done absolutely nothing. Listen to me. Read your scripture, read the Bible, pray, look, you know, be faithful to church and grow. Just grow in the Lord. It's time for people to grow up, amen. Every message should have an impact on your life. And by the way, it doesn't have anything to do with the messenger. It has everything to do with the Word of God, the message. It ought to help us to grow. You know, it's time for people to grow up. It's time for God's people to grow up. It's time for God's people to forget themselves and say, God, what do you want in my life? What do you want to do with me? Not tomorrow, now. Because now is the accepted time. There are so many people who said, I will do it one of these days. And how sad they've never done it. Never done it. It's time to grow. And now is the time to grow. You know, why don't you decide to grow up? Quit fighting, you know. Quit fighting with other Christians. Amen. Quit being offended over every little thing. We don't have time for that. Amen. There is no time for that kind of stuff. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing from the Word of God will offend them, and I believe other things. Well, you just, hey, I love the Word of God, I'm excited about it, and I want to grow. Do you realize as I sat in that Baptist church as a 17-year-old hippie, and then an 18-year-old hippie, and then a married 19-year-old hippie, and I sat in that church, everything that preacher preached was against me. But you know, I just wanted to grow. I just decided, you know what? I want to grow. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I mean, every message seemed to be that I was a wicked heathen dog. Every message. I would look over at my wife, and I would watch her tugging on her miniskirt and trying to make it longer. But I would think, did you tell him about me? I mean, who told the preacher about me? Why is he preaching on all my sins? You know what? It was just, here's somebody. God said, there's a guy who wants to grow. Let him have it. Man, that preacher preached, his eyes bugged out of his head, his veins popped out of his face, and he yelled and screamed and hollered and snorted and spit all over the place. And I sat there like, now, you know what? I could have got offended. I could have got mad. I could have said, I'm never coming back here. But you know, grow now. I'm so glad that at that time, you know, I wish I could have grown up and got saved when I was 5 years old and just grew up in church and went through the primary department and went through the junior department and went through the junior high department, went through the high school department and just loved God and grew in the Lord. But I thank God that at least I got saved when I was 17 and I started growing like that. Amen. 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 Because you know what? Now's the accepted time. Some of you have been saved 15 years, you've never grown. Well, now, preacher, you know, I'm in church. And thank God you're in church, but it's time to grow. It's time to grow. It's time, you know, it's time for your marriage to grow. It's time for, you know, you've been married for years. It's time you fall in love with each other. Because God says to. Now, that doesn't sound very romantic, but it sure is good. It's a good way to be married. Amen. Boy, it's quiet on me. It scares me to death. You know, it's time to grow. It's time for your home to be what it ought to be. It's time to grow. You know, now is the accepted time. Time. You know, there's not a better time to grow than right now. Don't waste what time there is. Okay? You sit here today and you say, well, you know, I'm just not right with God. Then you ought to get right with God. Why? Because we're running out of time. There is no better day than right now, this day, today, for you to get right with God. You say, oh, you know, I've done some things that are wicked. Then get them right with God. Isn't it wonderful that we can? Isn't it great that we could come to God and ask God to forgive us, and He will forgive us? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. God's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you could do that today, Christian. Why wouldn't you do it? Well, you know, I'm waiting until... Wait until what? Now is the accepted time. Boy, there are so many folks who've wasted years. I mean, you know, it started off with wasting a day. and then it became a week, and then it became a month, and then it became a year, and now it's years. Wasted. Wasted, because somehow we convince ourselves, we let the devil convince us, do it tomorrow. Get it right tomorrow. Yeah, you know, you are bitter. You really are bitter, but get it right tomorrow. Yes, that preacher's right. You know, you are a gossip. You are nasty, but don't do anything now. Do it later. And boy, it's been years and years, and you're still waiting to get it right. Still waiting to get rid of bitterness. Still waiting to get rid of that anger. Still waiting to get rid of clean up the thought life. Still waiting. And now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow. Now. Not next week. Now. Right now. This is the accepted time to grow. It's the accepted time for us to know we're saved. It's the accepted time for us to grow. Number three, it's the accepted time. Now is the accepted time for us to sow. Matthew 6, verse 19. Look at it. Matthew 6, 19. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Here again is a verse that, this passage, we don't like it. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But that's what we do, isn't it? But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And most hearts are right here in this world. Now is the accepted time to start laying up some treasure in heaven. Amen. Amen. Now that's talking about money. That's also talking about whatever we do with our time. Amen. It's hey, what are we investing in? Okay. Years ago, we had somebody come in and talk about insurance and about whole life versus term life. And so I was convinced to get term life and just put money into a savings account or an IRA or something like that. And I was convinced, and I'll never forget that insurance guy saying, now look, you have to be disciplined to put money in whatever kind of retirement plan you have, or when you retire, you're not going to have anything. I said, that won't be any problem. And every day went by, got to put some in there. Well, guess what? I finally did put some in there, but not enough. And now I'm looking back and saying, I wish I'd have put more in there. And what are they saying? They're saying now is the time to start investing in the future. Okay, but see, the big future. We're here on this earth maybe 80 years, maybe 90. There's folks make it in the mid-90s. You might make it to be 100, who knows. But compared to eternity, that's nothing. And that's why God says here, lay up your treasure in heaven. Lay up treasure in heaven. You say, I got a big savings account, bless God. And where will it go when you die? I'm not telling you to wipe out your savings. I'm just saying we ought to start concentrating on heavenly things. And that's in our giving. That's in our service to God. Do you understand? When you lead someone to Christ or you have a part in someone getting saved, that's eternal. Yes, sir. You're going to run into that person up in heaven. Do you realize when you lead someone to Christ, that person is going to be with you through all eternity? That's an awesome thought. Have you ever led anyone to Christ? Have you ever had a part in anyone getting saved? That's eternal. That's how that should be. Listen, you got to understand, we don't have a lot of time. Now is the accepted time. Notice chapter 8 and verse 5 here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. Notice what it says here about talking about these people in this church. This they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Gave themselves to the Lord. Why? They're sowing for the future. They're sowing a life that is going to give them something in heaven, eternal reward, eternal blessings. Not just an attaboy here on this earth, that's kind of nice. Somebody says, attaboy, that's, we like that. And those are all right. But how about eternal rewards? How about eternal crowns that we can cast at the feet of Jesus. I'm just saying, now is the accepted time for us to sacrifice a little bit. It's time for us to invest in heaven. Invest in heaven. I'm amazed at how people think about their finances and everything else. And certainly we are supposed to tithe, and that's automatic. But the truth is, we're not going to be able to take anything with us. You know, that fancy car, and I'm not against fancy cars. I'm just saying, you can't take it with you. I've heard of people getting buried with their car. They got to buy several plots, I would think, to be able to do that. But I don't know. But you invest in souls. You invest. You know, tonight we're taking up a special offering for the Spanish ministry. And I can't think of a better investment, to be honest with you. I cannot think of a better investment than a Spanish ministry. I can't think. You know, our bus ministry is an awesome investment. Every week people give extra toward the bus ministry. But I can't think of anything better than those kinds of ministries. Why? Because now is the accepted. Now's the time to do it. Now's the time. We need to work while it's day. Amen. And it is day. We still can run buses. We still can knock on doors. We still can go tell people about Jesus. We still can tell people in Spanish about Jesus. Amen. Well, we can't, but Brother Chase can. Amen. I'm just saying. I mean, amen. Now, not tomorrow. Well, you know, I'll start giving toward the ministries one of these days. Yeah, now is the time. And I'll tell you what, I can't think of anything better than souls getting saved. Honestly, now is the time to know you're saved. Now is the time to grow in the Lord. Now is the time to sow in the work of the Lord. And number four, now is the time to go into all the world. To go and tell people about Jesus Christ. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Now's the time. It's the accepted time. You say, you know, one of these days. Yeah, I know, one of these days, one of these days, one of these days. And while we're one of these daysing, people are going to hell all around us. One of these days, I'm going to get a bus route. How about now? One of these days, I'm going to tell my coworker about Jesus. How about now? We have tracks out there. Get a handful of tracks. Take them out there and take them to work with you and give them to people. Here, read this when you get a chance. I'd love to have you visit our church. Here, read this when you get. Here's something for you to read. You kids in the public schools, listen to me. Hand out gospel tracts. Give them to people. Say, hey, read this when you get a chance. Read this. Oh, I might get in trouble. You send them to me. You can hand out a gospel tract. You can give that to people or give them an option whether to take it or not. I'm just saying, you know what? If we don't do it and we put it off, then it's going to be too late for somebody. I still testify today of kids in my public school that had the guts to hand me gospel tracts. I went to a big public school in Marion, Indiana, a huge public school, and every now and then there was a little group of Christians, little, small group, and they would hand out gospel tracts. People made fun of them. I made fun of them. But every time they handed me one, I always read it. And though I made fun of them and acted like the big tough guy, let me tell you something. That little piece of literature that had the Word of God in it, I'll tell you what, it spoke to my heart. And you know, there are people in this room that got saved because somebody gave them a gospel tract. It's the accepted time now to go. To go. Amen? Now. Not tomorrow. We're supposed to reach Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. This whole earth. You know. And if everybody has the same idea, well, you know, one of these days, when I have more time, now is the accepted time to get busy for God. Do you understand how many people have absolutely no hope? You and I have the answer. If somebody in this room had the solution, had the answer for curing cancer, and you wouldn't tell anybody, we would think you were a crook. We would think you must hate people. And yet we have the answer. We have the answer for depression. We have the answer for no peace. We have the answer for people going to hell. We have the answer. And it's not us. It's His gospel. And we have that. You know, how sad when we don't go. How sad. You know, track rack ought to be empty when everybody leaves tonight. Or tonight. We will get out today. Well, I saw the look on a couple of faces. Like, no. But track rack ought to be empty. We ought to all have a bunch of tracks. And we ought to get them out there and give them. You say, well, I'm just not like that. Come on. I've heard you cheer it at football games and basketball games. Yeah! And you're shy? You're an introvert? Don't give me that stuff. You can say to somebody, would you read this, please? Everybody in this room can do that. Everybody in this room can invite people to church. Everybody, because again, now is the accepted time. Not weeks from now. Now. It always amazed me. Somebody says, you know what? I'd sure like to see us have a revival. And I think, go ahead. Right? Go ahead. Well, we need to get an evangelist. No, you don't. I don't know who the evangelist was. I know Nathan the prophet said to David, thou art the man, and then David had a revival. You know, well, I'm just waiting. You know, I'm waiting on mission conference to decide what to do with my faith promise. Why? Don't wait. Go ahead and up it now. Don't wait for the service I'm just waiting on this and waiting on that. You know, honestly, what we need to do is understand now is the accepted time. And the fact that you wait on anything that God has said we need to do, it's no different than somebody who's lost saying, I'm going to wait and get saved later. And you say, why would they do that? And I say, why would you and I wait on anything God's told us to do? Let's get busy for God. Let's do something for God now, not tomorrow. Not a week from now, but now. Let's do what God tells us to do. Now. Let's bow our heads, please.